This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Another hour, What's on Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. I'm Scott Hennon. Todd the Radio God Mitchell off today, a little under the weather. But Manny and the great Ravate have it covered here, folks. They have my back ready to go. We're going to talk about the Dakota Access Pipeline situation today with Talk Radio Town Hall for your questions and comments. Trooper Talk actually is in the works. I know I talked last week about that possibly being today. We've got that coming up, but I don't have an exact date for you. But Lieutenant Tom Iverson, been a while since he's been on to an old Trooper Talk, and that'll be coming up soon. Today, in our Talk Radio Town Hall, we have Lieutenant Governor Drew Wrigley that'll be joining us. Your questions or comments are welcome on the Dakota Access Pipeline. We've taken a lot of phone calls without question since mid-August. I would say we have had more calls, emails, texts, comments and discussion on this program about that than anything else. And so I wanted to give you an opportunity to ask you questions directly to someone as alongside Governor Dalrymple and the state response to this on a daily basis. So that's coming up for you today. We're brought to you this hour by our friends at Polar Service Center. And about a month or so ago, I was talking about some technicians they needed, both in Kildare and in Williston. Well, guess what? You heard those announcements. You heard about $32 an hour. You heard about the great benefits. And those positions have been filled. Now they need some other things, like a service manager to run their Williston location. That's right. And you get the idea. These folks pay well. They have great benefits. They're a good company, and they're here to stay. These are the kind of folks, when a slowdown happens, they add a location. They move to Williston and took advantage of opportunities there from other folks retreating or you know, leaving. They added on, so it's pretty cool. They also are looking for, if you have any kind of tanker, trailer, parts experience, Polar Service Center is in need of just exactly that. Experienced parts counter specialists, Kildare and Williston locations, and they're also looking for registered tank inspectors. So if you have some experience performing tank inspections, currently registered tank inspector, call. They also do great training. And competitive pay, great pay, really good pay, great medical benefits, 401k with matching. Give Gary a call. Gary's the regional manager, and he takes your call. That's not every day you do that. Usually you're sent to a website or, you know, talk to HR. You actually call Gary and talk to him, 701-495-3592, and he'll get you in the queue. 701-495-3592, okay? Gary at Polar Service Center is who you're calling there, 701-495-3592. All right, we welcome to the program the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Dakota, Drew Wrigley. Hello, sir.
Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, too.
Can you bring us inside of the state apparatus yourself, Governor Dalrymple, and other officials, and how this Dakota Access Pipeline situation is being managed? Tell our listeners what's happening on a day-to-day basis.
Well, on a day-to-day basis, obviously it's ongoing meetings with the National Guard and State Highway Patrol leadership, also in conjunction with the other local officials, law enforcement, Sheriff Kirchmeyer over in Morton County and others, and just gathering the day-to-day intel information on what's taking place. And obviously, you know, the public's been watching this and recognizes that it's been a daily response mode as we go along, trying to manage the situation to maintain public safety. And here we are now, a couple months in. And I guess you could say it's that stalemate, but I don't know that that's an accurate description. I think that this situation is pretty fluid. Just driving over here to your studio today, learned that the latest information is there are 50 vehicles that have left the unlawful encampment and are driving west. They're being monitored. We're going to figure out where they're headed and what their intentions are. But too often when they leave in large groups like that, they're intending and they gather some sort of a confrontation with law enforcement or landowners or pipeline workers, whoever they encounter. So we'll see as the morning goes on, but that's a pretty typical development.
There seems to be a growing amount of frustration over it from people. Farmers and ranchers are frustrated. A few of them speaking out last week and plans for more to speak out this week. You know, private property rights being just completely disregarded by farmers and ranchers. But there's also union workers, right, that are sitting in a hotel not getting a paycheck. Sure. And I hear from a lot of them, and a lot of them are frustrated that they don't think enough's being done, right? It's always easier from the cheap seats. I get that. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to ascertain what can be done, what is being done, so these people understand, you know, what's happening. And a lot of it gets put, honestly, at the governor's feet. The governor should do more. Right. And I know there was sort of a transition once it became very obvious that this was, you know, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the judge's decision comes out. And then the federal government says, well, wait a minute, never mind what the judge says. Let's do something different. And then the judge step back, you know, judges step back in and it becomes kind of a court thing again. So there is a certain amount of you know, federal part of this. But I guess the lawlessness is what the people expect the governor to do. What would you say to that?
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned the lawlessness of it. I'm going to bring you back to August 23rd, right? So over a month ago, I gave an interview, and some people said, who cares? You're the lieutenant governor. Maybe they don't pay as close attention. But I gave an interview to the Grand Forks Herald editorial board, and they had a reporter in there as well. On that day, and in the days following that, the Grand Forks Herald had a wonderful but also prescient editorial saying they needed to heed our call to disband from this unlawful protest and leave the site because unlawful, violent trespass and threats and everything else that was being done out there at that time couldn't be tolerated. It wasn't a part of that. Wasn't a lawful exercise of the First Amendment. That was at the end of August. And in the days after that, there was the interview that I gave them was printed in a Q&A. And your listeners, if they choose to, can go out there and see it on the Herald website.
Is right we reported on it at the same time. I remember it well. And I think your line was you can't lawfully support an unlawful
That's right.
protest, which caused a bit of a firestorm.
It did, actually. And what's interesting to me is that it did create that firestorm because, you know, the chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux took issue with that, said that I needed to come down there and see his camp, that it was lawful and peaceful. The fact of the matter is that there isn't any way that anybody can lawfully participate in an unlawful protest. That unlawful encampment, and it is unlawful, it's not permitted. Now the Army Corps has given them some permit to some different location nearby, which, of course, they've not moved to. It is an unlawful encampment, but it is the base of operations for all of the illegal activity that was ongoing at that time and is ongoing now. A lot of people in the media and elsewhere refused at that time to recognize the truth of what we were saying. Is that it was unlawful. There was a series at that point in the very earliest days, Scott. I mean, this protest started on the 10th of August. On the 11th, there were 13 arrests. On the 12th, there were 6 arrests. On the 15th, there were 10 arrests. This is in the very initial days for fences being cut, vandalism, private property was being trespassed on. The list goes on and on. These are not inconsequential acts. Imagine yourself living out in that area of the state and people are intruding onto your private property, are videotaping your private property, trying to intimidate you. We've had reports of ranchers pulling up and they've got, protesters are out there with horses, feeding on their hay. And everything else, being asked to leave, the protesters refusing to leave private property. That's a lot of things. It's an intrusion. It's a theft. It's intimidation. And it's just part of, I could go on for a long time about the illegal action. So when people say, though, well, you're not doing enough, I do want to point out that there have been a steady stream of arrests, and we've done everything we can to this point to continue to balance the interests of protecting the public. Protecting the traveling public and also ensuring that the situation remains as calm as it possibly can. However,
when you say maintain be as calm as you can, there is probably the most difficult fence to ride, right?
That's right.
Because obviously you have lawlessness. I mean, because really the arrests could continue right up until and including anybody in that camp being arrested. Could it not?
Yeah, the problem with that has been, I mean, you've got an encampment that varies in size from, you know, sometimes, 1,800 people to as many as 3,000-4,000 people it'll swell up to. And so there is a logistical issue that is very real, where the people where we've benefited along the way from a couple of important decisions, we've been able to make arrests. One of those important decisions was something that, frankly, the Obama administration and its different individuals were encouraging us, do not call up the North Dakota National Guard. That will be a flashpoint. That will be an escalation. That will be a big problem. And, the exact date, I remember now, it's back here a while. The governor did, in a limited fashion, bring out the North Dakota National Guard to take on certain responsibilities, a military police unit and some others that came in, that then in turn freed up Highway Patrol and other law enforcement, deputy sheriffs and the sheriff's offices, to go out and make more arrests. And they've made tens of arrests. At this point, Scott, there have been in the neighborhood of 95 individuals arrested for a variety of acts: assault, trespass, theft. We're still investigating the lasering into the eyes of pilots going over the scene, a violation of federal law. So arrests are being made.
Hold that thought, if you would. We'll come back with more. Your questions welcome, too, for Lieutenant Governor Drew Wrigley on the Dakota Access Pipeline today, 800-228-0550.
What's on your mind? So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
PetroServe USA, when you want to gas up, grab a snack, get on your way.
Come on into a nearby PetroServe USA location and pick four for just four. That's right, get a single-topping personal pan hot stuff pizza, a 20-ounce fountain pop, and any two cookies all day, every day. Four items, just $4 at PetroServe USA.
Helping America feel better. PetroServe USA.
Central Steel Building and Construction is your premier source for GSI grain bins, GSI grain dryers, and GSI grain handling equipment. Central Steel also offers livestock water, welding supplies, and a variety of gears, pulleys, plus bulk bolts and nuts. Call Central Steel today for your GSI grain storage, material handling, and grain drying needs. 701-652-2886. Central Steel Building and Construction in Carrington. Online at grainstuff.com.
When a challenge comes along, some people turn away. At the University of Mary, we turn up our sleeves. Always have. The challenge today is finding a quality education that's affordable. And we are. At the University of Mary, you'll get an education as affordable as UND and NDSU. Value for your money, values for your life. That's the Mary difference.
The game has changed for North Dakota car, truck, and SUV buyers. Hucklett Chevrolet Buick GMC invites you to visit their new location in Valley City. The trucks you need on the job and on the farm. The cars you love for style and sophistication. And coming soon, their brand new $6 million showroom in Valley City. Find out why they say you drive, we'll ride with you. At North Dakota's home for Chevy, Hucklett Chevrolet Buick GMC, 721 West Main in Valley City, or shop online at HucklettsValleyCity.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
On Your Mind, brought to you today by OurOldNumber.com. With our busy lives, it seems we're never home anymore. I know the feeling. Well, imagine the feeling of freedom if your home telephone number can be as mobile as you are and your family. Well, now you can with ouroldnumber.com. You can find it out, all the details out at ouroldnumber.com or call them at 800-774-0530. Ouroldnumber.com or 800-774-0530. We're chatting with Lieutenant Governor Drew Wrigley. We asked for a full hour today to be able to address questions that have come up in this program related to the Dakota Access Pipeline. If you have questions or comments, they're welcome at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Some texts have come in already. Welcome others as well at 701-367-2054. So before the break, I was saying people are frustrated, and they see the lawlessness, and they want it to end. One of the things I mentioned was, if the camp is harboring illegal activity, and we know that, and it's illegally there, even the court says you can't be there anymore, they're still there, go in there. I think you were saying basically it's a manpower issue to be able to handle that situation.
Well, that's part of it. You have to recognize, too, that while this is happening in the state of North Dakota, this is on federal land. It's on the Army Corps land where they set up this illegal encampment without a permit. And since then, the Army Corps said, oh, well, we'll give you a permit somewhere else. Why they did that, you'll have to ask them. I can't imagine why they would, because at that point, they already knew that it was an illegal encampment. There was illegal activity springing off there. It was not inconsequential.
This is
illegal activity.
This is the Obama administration's Army Corps of Engineers.
And so, you know, try as we might, the Interior Department and others have not been responsive to what is an escalating situation on federal land. And so it happens to be happening in the state of North Dakota. We're doing what we can to be responsive to that as we go along, but it's been escalating. And when a federal court comes through and tells the tribe, no, we're going to deny your temporary restraining order when you're trying to stop this work because it's been a years-long process, what does the Obama administration do? The Obama administration decides they know better. And they think, well, maybe we should second-guess this and rethink it a little bit, regardless of how thorough the federal court decision was in that regard. And so then they say, we're not going to grant that last permit. We have to go look at this a little longer. Well, in doing that, Scott, they've now protracted for who knows how long a situation that is violent, escalating, and causing property damage, costing the state of North Dakota and the political subdivisions over there an enormous amount of money, and most importantly, is robbing the private landowners around there of their quality of life and the peace and tranquility of their existence. And that is not an exaggeration.
So those are the people you described that are fed up, that are ticked, that want something done, that have been living on pins and needles since mid-August. How does this end? Because what you've described is a situation the federal government's making. I get that. The lawlessness, I guess, we can hope can be handled here, as difficult as it is. But is there more to be done to bring some law and order to the state of North Dakota, despite the federal government's role in this?
The first critical step would be for the federal government to extract and remove and demand the removal of the illegal encampments from the federal lands, from the Army Corps lands.
Well, they're actually
extract them. Now they've set up an alternate site. They say, "Oh, well, you can have an you can have your lawful permit over here." Why they did that, I don't know.
Well,
I'll tell you this: the encampment's not moving there. The encampment's
right.
Not moving in that direction, and they're staying put in the place that now even the Army Corps acknowledges is an illegal encampment. Interestingly, last week in Washington, the Obama administration, a cabinet official in a public setting, thanked Chairman Archambault for the peaceful protest, for keeping the protest peaceful. Now, whoever vetted her speech either wasn't reading public accounts or is completely disregarding the fact that there have been, as I said, we're approaching 100 arrests for very, very serious conduct across now many, many weeks. And that protest might be many things. Lawful is not among them.
I have a number of sources that have told me about meetings recently in Cannonball with tribal leaders about moving that camp. Because obviously, as you mentioned, the Corps of Engineers has said you need to move.
Right.
So, there is this ongoing discussion. Evidently, there's been two meetings that were held last week. And the majority of the locals in Cannonball are very opposed to the plan. In other words, moving, as the Corps is asking them to,
right,
onto this other land. The meetings have been very contentious, according to my source. Many local elders have been vocal for weeks that they think the camps need to end, as they've been unlawful and not peaceful. Now, this is the elders,
right,
agreeing with you, and are setting back the local tribal members' racial relations with local non-tribal members for decades. All of the out-of-state agitators have changed the dynamic of the original peaceful protesters' camp, and the local elders feel when they leave, the local natives will be struck with the mess and bad relations.
We've had those reports as well. And I've said, by the way, across these many, many weeks, we've said in our administration, because I think we recognize correctly, the people of Standing Rock, the vast majority of the people of Standing Rock who have been involved in this have been involved in peaceful and wanted to have a peaceful protest. The fact of the matter is it's morphed well outside their control. And it's not surprising to anybody that they don't want this protest to now move on to the Standing Rock reservation, is it? Is that surprising? Would you want a bunch of people from out of state who are conducting unlawful activities and are becoming an environmental disaster of... Not to mention, it's just a troubling dynamic. No, I don't blame the people of Standing Rock for not now wanting this protest to move closer to or onto their reservation.
Is this not an argument for you and Governor Dalrymple with Chairman Archambault and others of the Standing Rock to say, look, even your own folks don't want this at your tribal council meetings?
Well, Scott, part of your question implies that Chairman Archambault and the Standing Rock Sioux are in charge of this protest, and that is not factual. I likened it to if you went into the old Metrodome or into the new facility down there in the cities and you walked in, there's a huge crowd, and you go out and you negotiate something with Section C. Well, I got news for you. Section C doesn't care about Section A, and they might have completely different interests from Section F. And so the list goes on. There's not a unified leadership of this protest. There are several encampments within the encampments. Like I say, it's a situation. If the administration were to very quickly recognize that they have extended this by allowing this encampment to stay there, that would be a major step in the right direction. In the meantime, law enforcement continues to make arrests as we go along. And by the way, since I started this interview, when I told you there were 50 vehicles moving out of the encampment to an unknown destination but are being monitored, it's now doubled. I'm now informed it's 111 vehicles moving west and possibly north out of the encampment, and we'll see what comes next. My guess is it's not going to be good.
Ron and Bismarck for Lieutenant Governor Drew Wrigley on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, Drew, did you see the article in the Bismarck Tribune from David Gipp yesterday?
I did not see Dr. Gipp's article yesterday.
Okay, I'd like to have somebody respond on that. It's absolutely fairy tale garbage, but that's David. Second thing, this thing is such complete anarchy against us and the rule of law. When do we finally do anything that'll be concrete to end the stupid thing? Thank you.
Well, as I said, the state of North Dakota is being handed has been handed a situation that has now been protracted and extended by the Obama administration. And I should mention, too, our federal delegation, I want to carve them out of that comment, because our federal delegation has been and is working hard to try to gather the resources. They have to have the administration's backing for that, though. They have not got the administration's backing for any money coming to help defray these extensive costs that are now in excess of $2 million, and nor has the Obama administration agreed to send out any, deputy U.S. Marshals or others. So I applaud the efforts of our federal delegation. They're ongoing, and I know they're doing everything they can to try to be helpful and supportive.
We got to bake that into the cake. The feds aren't going to help. That's quite obvious. More coming up on What's on Your Mind with Lieutenant Governor Drew Wrigley. Don't go away.
Watford City, we're not the same, we're better. The New York Times has placed the Theodore Roosevelt National Park number 5 on its list of the top 52 places to visit in 2016. With miles of rugged badlands and rolling grasslands dotted with wildlife, the north unit of the park sits just 12 miles south of Watford City, a small town getaway with big city amenities. The gateway to internationally acclaimed adventure, Watford City residents have enjoyed the natural beauty of the area for centuries. And now, with over 700 available hotel rooms, a variety of cabins and campgrounds, 25 restaurants, unique shopping, and newly built, construction-free highways to get you there, you can plan a visit that's as rugged or as relaxing as you like. Because the Theodore Roosevelt National Park is North Dakota's playground right in your backyard. And Watford City wants to help you experience what has the nation inspired. Because the Badlands are just the beginning of the adventure. Watford City, we're not the same, we're better. Come see for yourself.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. you can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Morning, fellas. I just wanted to give a call and state my opinion on this pipeline deal. I truly believe that this is because of political correctness. It's the reason why you guys won't go in and stop this thing. We're spending tons and tons of taxpayer money to control it instead of just stopping it. It's unlawful. Everybody knows it. And you guys continue to just let it go down. So as a taxpayer in the state of North Dakota, I'm very disappointed with this administration. And none of you will get my vote again, period. Thanks.
Back on What's On Your Mind, Lieutenant Governor Drew Wrigley. We're doing a Dakota Access Pipeline Talk Radio Town Hall today. Questions or comments, welcome here at 800-228-0550 or text at 701-367-2054. Is it political correctness that is preventing stopping the lawlessness?
No, to a quick answer for you, no. The reality is I don't want to impose my personal views on all your listeners, but I'll just point this out. I my personal recognition is that God creates us all equal. So at the end of the day, there's no different standard for how to handle the situation from a public safety standpoint, whatever population you're dealing with. I can assure them that it is not. Now, is there some political correctness in the news coverage of this? I don't know how you'd say that there isn't.
If that encampment was designed to support an effort to show how much we love fossil fuels in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You think it'd still be there? August 10th of the day?
You know, who am I to guess? My guess is, maybe your listeners would agree, that the Obama administration would view it differently. That is what you have to recognize here. This is federal land. The state of North Dakota has no right to extract people from federal lands, from the Army Corps lands. But at the same time, I think it's not too much to ask, and that's why we have, for the federal government to dislodge these people when they have in fact become a springboard for illegal actions that do project out into the state of North Dakota, as I'm concerned is happening again this morning. As I told you just a little bit ago, 111 cars now northbound on Highway 81, and there'll be a law enforcement response.
111 cars that left the encampment. Now north on 81. I mean, you know, so yeah. Is this a pattern? Is this
a coordinated effort?
Is this a higher than usual number? Or?
That's a higher than usual number, yes.
Yeah. Wow. We'll keep tabs on that. One other call here at 800-228-0550 from St. Anthony. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Wrigley, I just live in the Snap area here and heard about this, too. I've got patrolmen driving around all over the place. They're and their number is way more than what you're saying coming in this area here. My question to you is, where is the National Guard at?
I'm not sure I heard correctly. Is he talking about just this morning? And
when you say what numbers are you talking about, sir?
I've had a patrolman in my yard about 5 minutes ago, and I'm in the Sanathan area, and get ready for him coming. And there's way more than what you had just mentioned.
Way more of them, you're saying. Way more cars that have joined the protest, you mean?
Right, and law enforcement is way outnumbered. Okay. Anybody knows that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And when you say there's more cars, I mean, please understand that I'm in Fargo today, and I'm not on scene. So the best information I had early was there were 50, and then it had gone up to 111, and you're describing maybe more than that. Well, it's obviously a coordinated movement of the illegal protesters today, and now we'll see where they go to. But law enforcement is going to respond to that. They're monitoring the situation. We're going to see what's going to materialize out there today. These are ongoing tests.
How about his theory that you need more National Guard to deal with this?
Yeah. I appreciate that. When the governor did bring out the National Guard in the limited role that he did, a military police unit and a couple of others, that freed up law enforcement to go out to do the things that they do best, which is to maintain public safety. They made a number of arrests, and like I say, that number's up to 95 now. There are a number of outstanding arrest warrants for other individuals, including, as you may have read, one of the candidates for President of the United States, who thought it was important to come to the state and violate our state laws with trespass and desecration of other people's property, vandalism. So, the guard has that role. And
could you use the guard for law enforcement for arresting? Use more guard members? Is that possible?
Well, they're not sworn peace officers, but it is possible, but it's not the ideal situation. The ideal situation is to use them as we have in a support role, working hand in glove with law enforcement, and then to free up law enforcement to go out and conduct peace officer operations.
But I think this scenario today and what the caller's talking about is a good example of what our law enforcement are facing, right? The guard are freeing them up so more of them can be on the road, but you're still way outnumbered when you talk about the encampment swelling sometimes to 4,000 or 5,000 and 6,000 people. Do you need more law enforcement wherever they come from?
We're going to need more law enforcement up ahead. I think that's to be expected in the event that the Obama administration does not relent. You know, this permit for the alternate site, I'll call it. I guess they set up what could be a lawful protest site of some kind. We mentioned before the protesters aren't moving there. That gets reviewed every 30 days. And, I'm calling. I would hope that the administration would think twice and not grant that permit up ahead because, as I say, now you've got months-long activity that's illegal. Are there individuals out there, Scott, who themselves have not assaulted anybody, maybe themselves have not trespassed, maybe themselves have not done any acts of vandalism? Of course there are people. But the fact of the matter is they are now participating in an unlawful protest. There is no way to lawfully protest, lawfully participate in that. It's important.
We call on people
to extract themselves from the situation. It is not too late for them to remove themselves from this unlawful protest and, think ahead to how they want to conduct themselves up ahead. Avoid arrest and avoid the violent confrontations that have been incited too many times by protesters.
Thanks for the call, and St. Anthony, good luck, sir. Feel for you. Gail and Cheyenne, you're next on What's on Your Mind for Lieutenant Governor Drew Wrigley.
Hello. Yes, I appreciate everything you were saying here. I live up on the other reservation, Spirit Lake. And my question is simple, because it's a problem up here to register the Native Americans. And I'm just wondering where are these protesters going to register as to where they live, all these people who are living in this encampment? Are they going, I guess that's my question. Are they going to vote, and how are they going to say, well, I live in the encampment down by Standing Rock?
I've heard that from other people.
For voting purposes?
Wondering if, how many of the people in the camps are going to be voting.
Okay. okay.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, but they're not going to be able to, you know, claim lawful residence there for 30 days if anyone is going to pay attention to my perspective on it. I mean, it's not a lawful residence. It's not residence for voting purposes. So if that's the question, interesting question though. And
we'll ask Al Jager maybe about that.
Yeah, I don't know. You can't, you know, I can't go on a camping trip to Wyoming for a month and a half and become a Wyoming voter. So.
Jim and Tioga for Drew Wrigley, go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Sir, I actually believe you're being played like a fine fiddle. Our intelligence is being insulted here over and over and over. You say the feds, you need the feds to solve this problem. Sir, the feds created this problem. Obama came here 2 years ago to the Standing Rock, and this started 2 years ago. And for us to continue to observe this and have our state in a way, we're just being mocked. And my suggestion would be that you research the Black Lives Matter movement and how all of this ties together. It's all the same. And we, the people, are growing tired. It's our money that's being wasted here. And please stand up and create an atmosphere of law again. And if that means you bring in the National Guard, you do it. And if that means you need help, there's a lot of people out there willing to help. And that's what I have to say, and thank you.
Well, Jim, I sure can sense your frustration and certainly understand it. I just ask you to contemplate the fact that there are times where these the protest itself swells to 3, 4, 5, and some, and we've been told a high of maybe 7,000 people. Imagine if you can a law enforcement force that would have to be. About 2-to-1 to go in and slap handcuffs on every one of those protesters. You know, that is an untenable situation. What's workable though, in which we've been employing the last many weeks, is when we have an opportunity to make arrests. First, obviously, you got to have conduct taking place, and it's taking place several times.
Today,
trespass, violence, the list goes on and on. The arrests are being made, but you know, as you might imagine, the arrests themselves, it's not for armed robbery. I mean, they're being bonded out quickly, and they go back and rejoin the protest. And so it does come back to the federal government. Yeah, you're right, Jim. They did create, the Obama administration created this situation. They've extended the situation, but at least they're not doing anything to help us right now. And that's what we're going to continue to be focused on, hand in glove with our federal delegation. But in the meantime, we're managing the situation to maintain public safety, to maintain public order to the degree that we can, and we recognize your frustration is real because, you know what, you mentioned the expense. This is now well north of $2 million that's been expended in response to this illegal set of uprisings out there, and the cost of it mounts daily. There are other options, though, in addition to the Guard. There's interstate compacts where you can bring in law enforcement from surrounding states, and those options are being explored as well, both as to how rapidly you could get those folks in and how we would manage that situation going forward.
Jim, appreciate the call. Tony Bender is a friend of mine that is a newspaper guy down in Ashley and in that area, and has been very much in support of this entire protest. We go back and forth often. And he wrote over the weekend, "The buck stops with Governor Dalrymple. The lack of outreach and lack of effort to show good faith with the water protectors has put law enforcement in an untenable situation. He has needlessly escalated a situation instead of exploring more peaceful means." What would you say to that?
I'm glad to get that question. You know, it was raised early on by some people involved in the protest that there had been no communication with the state of North Dakota, ignoring completely the fact that the governor had spoken with Chairman Archambault a number of times early on in this whole protest, including that was how we started to learn that he was not in control of the protest, and then it sprung well outside the control of the Standing Rock Sioux from North Dakota. That's number one. Those conversations continue on an almost daily basis. The Adjutant General of the North Dakota National Guard and the Colonel, head of the Highway Patrol, are meeting with high-level, I'll call them emissaries of the protest. But that's a revolving group as well, doing the best they can to open lines of communication that can be fruitful and productive up ahead. In addition, years long, years-long outreach and efforts and discussions on a variety of topics with the Standing Rock Sioux and the other tribes in North Dakota. These are our North Dakota brothers and sisters. We have political discussions with them regularly about tax issues, about game and fish issues, about land use, all sorts of matters that we have to reach accord, and that's going to continue on. People should not misunderstand that there's never been communication. What's happened here, though, it has sprung outside of the control of even the people who initiated the protest.
Something the locals should recognize. More coming up with Drew Wrigley. Don't go away.
The Safety Minute brought to you by the North Dakota Safety Council, sponsored in part by Workforce Safety and Insurance. This week's special guest, Don Ronsberg from the Department of Homeland Security, discusses the run, hide, fight concept.
Run, hide, fight is if you are confronted with an active shooter, no matter where you're at, run, hide, fight are the choices. So if you can safely get out of that building, then get out. You know where your exits are, where you can quickly get out. If you can't get out of the facility, find a place you can go where you can hide. We recommend knowing where safe rooms are in a facility, and a safe room is any type of a room that has a solid door, whether it's wood or steel, that you can lock it from the inside. You turn the lights off, you turn your phone off, and you wait until law enforcement responds and can let you out. And then as a last resort, you have to fight. You have to survive.
For more information on violence preparedness, go to www.ndsc.org/homeandcommunity.
An update from Polar Service Center. They're looking for a service manager to run their Williston location. The applicant must have at least 3 years' experience, tank and management experience. Call Gary Myers now at Polar Service Center, 701-495-3592. They're also looking for experienced parts counter specialists at both their Killdeer and Williston, North Dakota locations. Polar Service Center offers competitive pay, great medical benefits, including 401k with match. To apply, call Gary at 701-495-3592. 701-495-3592.
Nowadays, a landline is an unnecessary expense, but I want to keep my number in the phone book, and I want my friends and family to be able to connect with me and my wife wherever we are. Our home number is precious to us. With OurOldNumber.com, we get to keep our home number, and we can be reached whether we're here or in Arizona for the winter. What a great solution for us. Our home number follows us, and we save money too. OurOldNumber.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Back to the music in a minute, but first I've got a special free giveaway. I've got 100 free trials of the Belly Flattening Breakthrough Newbiotics here, and I've been authorized to give them away to the station's first 100 callers right now. So if you want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly, call now. Don't even wait till I stop talking. Only one free trial per caller, though. Don't be greedy. Okay, here's the number. 1-800-983-5628. I'm guessing it works pretty fast because it says here that if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, you're supposed to reduce use to every other day. And it looks like it's made from natural ingredients, too. Scientifically formulated to cleanse pounds of toxic sludge from your body. Okay, this is it. If you want a flatter belly, be one of the first 100 callers right now to claim one of these free trials. 1-800-983-5628. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-983-5628. Call now for details. 1-800-983-5628.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
When these so-called protesters leave the site, go onto other people's private property, and do crimes, whether it's stealing, vandalism, whatever, they're common criminals. It's time for the state to stand up for the citizens of the state and protect them. Stop this madness. Have a good day.
Lieutenant Governor, why don't you just deal with this, all right? Politics or not, the longer you allow this to go on, the worse it's going to get, and they're going to get more violent. If you don't deal with it, guess what? Now you're really going to have problems. Don't count on the feds. Just do it.
Yeah, it's not a situation where we're counting on the Obama administration, because, as I said, they've indicated they've sent in no money. They've sent in no to defray the extensive and escalating costs. They've done nothing to send in.
Well, they actually have been praising. I mean, you had Sally Jewell, a cabinet official, praising Chairman Archambault for the peaceful protests.
Yeah, I think they need to talk to whoever vetted that speech that they gave last week. They ignored violent clashes, protesters, vandalism totaling millions of dollars, violation of federal, state, and local laws, people being intimidated, trespassed, property being destroyed, highways being shut down.
I'm waiting for the charges on whoever decided to take a fence post to a dog and bloody him up. I mean, because that whole story was turned around on his head completely, too, and remains popular folklore for this whole story. What hasn't been, what doesn't the public know about that situation with the dogs?
That was one of the real horrible flash-up points days in this, but people need to understand about that situation. Protesters only had contact on that day with construction personnel and personal security. They only had contact after they cut through private property, a fence at the edge of the private property, ran across hundreds of yards of private property, physically and violently assaulted in many cases, vastly outnumbering private security individuals who had security dogs with them, like a lot of people have security dogs in their house. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about what took place that day. There were a number of security personnel that were injured, a couple pretty seriously. Not a single documented injury to any of the protesters who had violently gotten their way through a fence and then gone across private property to get to that point. I mean, what I'm saying is that situation, you're not on equal footing when you've crossed that private property line. You've crossed that land, and now outnumbering people dramatically, you're assaulting them and their dogs with posts. We've got photographs of all of this.
So, why are not every one of those individuals arrested by now? Or anyone else? I mean, Logan just texted here. He says, ask Drew about landowners' rights in North Dakota, specifically what we can do to protect our own land when people cut fences and are trespassing illegally without necessarily just calling the sheriff. And Doug Goring, the Ag commissioner, came out this week, talked specifically about 25 to 30 issues specifically of disruption to harvest, about people trespassing on land.
Right.
Are these people being arrested?
Some of those have made up the arrests that have been made. Yeah, and there's a number of outstanding warrants as well. A number of the people who have ended up in photographs when they were assaulting the private security guards and others are wearing face masks. Now ask yourself, if you're at a protest and you're out there conducting yourself in this fashion, why are you wearing a face mask? I can tell you why they're wearing a face mask. They probably have open arrest warrants. They probably have other violations in their past, and they definitely don't want law enforcement to be able to detect who they are. But we're working on everything we can, deciphering everything we can from the photographic information. They were caught by surprise that day vastly outnumbered, and that's not been atypical in the situation. Now, today I told you about the fact that we had the intel on the 110 or so cars moving, and your caller says maybe even more. Continuing to monitor that situation, I think we're getting still, it's still an uncertain destination. Last word I have from the Highway Patrol.
They were north on 81 last we heard.
Yeah, okay. And so hopefully we can ward off that situation. But
we only have 2 minutes left. I do want to try and get to a couple more calls, so real quick, questions and answers, folks. Rocky and Ariska, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got some questions for you, Mr. Wrangler, please. In light of what happened in Malheur Wildlife Refuge in Oregon last year and the federal government's response to that, that was 30 or 40 people on a remote wildlife refuge. You're looking at this, there's absolutely no help. You know, I go back to George Orwell's quote there, his saying in the book Animal Farm, that all animals are equal, some animals more equal than others. When it comes to the left and the radical left, there's a complete just turning a blind eye to what's going on, whether it's Black Lives Matter, you know, what goes on in the riots in Charlotte, Baltimore, Ferguson, what's going on out there.
All right. I got your point. And by the way, speaking of Black Lives Matter, the co-founder of this camp, the Sacred Stone Camp, was at a Black Lives Matter rally recently. It's something we've said all along, that there's ties there. I got to try and get a question here, LaRocky. I appreciate the comment. Scott Mandan, real quick question for Drew Wrigley. Go ahead.
Well, the more I hear you guys, I'm in my 50s, and I'm feeling more and more guilty that us aren't standing up in the local community and marching down there and giving the place a quick enema and flushing these guys out. It's not the American way that we're not helping our neighbors down here, and I think it's going to get to the point where a lot of us up here are going to get our cars and do something to help these folks down there. Yeah. If it's,
would you
certainly want to understand the emotion on that, but want to strongly discourage people from entering into that sort of activity for which you're not trained, and you're going to be inviting danger for yourself and the broader community. But understand, there's a lot we can do from the standpoint of the public deciding whether they want to do business with protesters. If you're a hotel, or if you're the casino, if you're making donations, building supplies, other things that they're relying on the surrounding communities for a lot of commerce. Make that decision. Is there something that you want to do to refrain from giving support to an unlawful protest and thereby helping the Obama administration extend it?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate all the time today. Lieutenant Governor Drew Wrigley, we'll do this again on What's on Your Mind. God bless you, folks.
A familiar smile as you walk in the door. A handshake accompanied by a warm hello. Full service attention to all of your financial needs. It's what you expect from First International Bank and Trust. From personal to business banking, our professionals provide the perfect solution to any financial situation. First International Bank and Trust has been banking locally and responsibly for over 100 years. We give you the best personal attention to help you find your perfect financial solution. With flexible banking options like online banking and mobile and tablet apps, your money can be everywhere you are. You can even deposit checks with your phone using mobile check deposit. When you worry less about money, you have more time to live first. Visit us online or stop by any of our convenient locations. Get what you have come to expect. First International Bank and Trust. Live first. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Introducing the fastest growing digital currency company in the world, OneLight. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLight. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is
your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.